Nelson, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. We've got preseason football tomorrow kicking off at 6 o'clock Houston time on Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610, and also host of the pregame and postgame show for the Houston Texans. So this is a big week. We've got preseason game number 2 for the Texans. We've got preseason game number 1 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and should be a good one. So we're going to preview things to look for in this game on Friday night and just get up to speed on everything kind of going on with the Houston Texans this week. They've spent the week in Ohio practicing 3 different times at Nick Caserio's old high school in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Beautiful university high school there. If you saw any of the footage, it's some really nice facilities there. So we'll talk a little bit about those practices. I was obviously not there for those. Any reports that I have are basically from the handful of people who had eyes on those practices. People like Cody Stutes of Houston Football, John Harris of the Houston Texans, the variety of beat writers that cover the team, all of whom have done a nice job of providing information on social media and through their columns. So we were able to kind of piece some things together as far as the Texans go this week. So before we get into the podcast, a quick reminder to hit that subscribe button if you could and be part of the growing number of people who subscribe to the podcast and get it automatically wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can obviously stream the podcast as well on the Sports Radio 610 YouTube page. A reminder, too, you can watch Payne and Pendergast and all the Sports Radio 610 shows on the YouTube and Twitch streams for the station. So, as far as what's pertinent here and now within the confines of the Utopia Football Podcast, subscribe, and give us a rating and a review if you care to do that as well. We do a mailbag episode every Tuesday. HOU mailbag@gmail.com is where you can send in your questions, your comments, your compliments, your insults, your cookie recipes, whatever it is you want to send. And it doesn't have to be Texans. Texans are the crux of this podcast, but the Astros are right in the middle of a divisional race right now, and college football is going to be here soon enough. I love college football. So anything you want to send in, but this will always, the fulcrum of this, the ice cream that holds all the fixins together, is always going to be Houston Texans football. And for that, we are thankful because they're good at football again. So let's get right into it here. And before we get into things to watch for the game tomorrow night, and again, it kicks off at 6 o'clock. The pregame starts at 3 on Sports Radio 610 with me and Seth Payne, and then Clint Sterner and I will have postgame as you guys are driving around partying on Friday night. We'll be hard at work giving you our hot takes on what we'll see. I was going to say what we hope is a Houston Texans win in the preseason. Honestly, all that I hope for is that there's no injuries. I don't care what the final score is, as long as everybody's healthy. I kind of have a good flavor for what this team's going to be when the regular season gets here. So just keep everybody upright and healthy and with all their limbs working. That would be a win to me tomorrow night. As far as the practices go in Ohio and the major things that we had been hearing, it sounds like the offense was clicking a whole lot more at those practices than they were at the tail end of the Houston stretch that they did. The Texans had their first 10 practices in Houston, and the last 4 of them, 2 of which were in the rain and the other 2 were in extreme heat, they were bad. The defense won all those practices. I don't want to say the offense was bad in all those practices, but the defense clearly won the day in all 4 of those days. Now, the thing to keep in mind, and the thing that's been brought up by multiple people, D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick, others, Matt Burke, is that a lot of times what's happening in these practices, you know, you may be getting footage fed to you on social media, or you were out at some of the practices watching them. And I think the thing to keep in mind is that sometimes first of all, there's no game planning going on, right? So that's where I don't get too worried about the offense being behind the defense. 1, I think that's normal this time of year. 2, Bobby Slowik isn't putting personnel groupings out there based on what a real opposing defensive coordinator is doing. Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans are running their stuff. Bobby Slowik's running his stuff. And however those styles clash or collide or blend against each other is just how it goes. I would imagine there would be significantly more game planning around Blake Fisher as your left tackle, that because that's been a big disruptor for the offense in this preseason so far, is that they've not had Laremy Tunsil out there at left tackle against the ones. The offensive line as a whole has probably lost to the defensive line as a whole throughout training camp. It sounds like some of that was still in place up in Ohio, although Will Anderson wasn't practicing up in Ohio. So, but it sounds like the offensive line still has had some struggles. They are running things. The coaches, the offensive coaches in particular, said they're running certain things to make life hard on CJ Stroud in the offense, so that when you get into actual games, it feels easier. So just because something looks a certain way when you're out at practice, or a video surfaces and you see and it looks like the offense is struggling, know the fact that some of that struggle is by design. You know, Bobby Slowik is doing things to make life harder for CJ Stroud in practice, not easier for CJ Stroud. And you got to see how he, Stroud, adapts and adjusts to that. So it sounded like things were a little more even up in Ohio in these practices. It certainly sounds like Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs have been getting their touches. Unfortunately, it also, the reports are that John Mechie continues to struggle in camp catching the football. So that'll be certainly, if we're looking at position groups, I'm going to get into some specifics to watch for in the game. But I would say if there's position groups where I am watching very acutely from, say, probably halftime on, maybe like middle of the second quarter on, because these are all, in theory, these are all the guys that are fighting for roster spots. I think the most competitive position groups right now, in terms of the ferocity of the competition at the back end, and also maybe the quality of player battling it out, wide receiver is number one. There are going to be good players from the Texans that get let go. That's why I think ultimately we're going to see one of those guys traded. We know that Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, I think Noah Brown are all going to make this team. I think Xavier Hutchinson and Ben Skowronek have made a better case for themselves than John Mechie, who I thought was close to a lock just a couple of weeks ago, but didn't go well in the game for him, and he's been struggling in practice, and he's in year three. So I know he's really in year two of being an actual football player because of the cancer diagnosis, but this team's trying to win a Super Bowl. They're not going to wait around and cut a player who's not performing. And I know everybody's rooting for John Mechie. I'm rooting for John Mechie. But I think Skowronek and Xavier Hutchinson and maybe even Robert Woods are ahead of Mechie right now. So I think there's a good chance that they keep at least six wide receivers, for one thing. Maybe more than that. If they keep more than that, then maybe Mechie's the last guy on the roster as of right now. I could see them, though. I could see Nick Caserio, and we see teams do this all the time when they're getting ready to cut a guy. They start to call around and see if anybody wants him. I think if you were ready to cut John Mechie, I think you could find a team easily that would give you a day three pick for him. And the one I've suggested all along has been Carolina, who's not nearly as accelerated in their rebuild as the Texans. They might be willing to give you a day three pick for a guy who was teammates with their quarterback, Bryce Young, at Alabama. So we're not talking a high price. Mechie still has 2 years left on his rookie deal. And if he turns into something, then maybe you've got a future target for Bryce Young. But that's just that's kind of a pie in the sky thing for me. If I had to guess between wide receiver, I think running back is probably next on the list of competitive positions right now, just to make the team. I think defensive tackle is one of those positions where, you know, if they choose to keep, they may have to choose to keep five tackles to keep guys that are performing at a good level in camp right now. And we'll get into the interior of the D line in just a second and the things to watch for. But I think those are three position groups. Maybe cornerback I'll add in there as a position group that has some interesting battles going on right now. Those are the main ones for me that those are the positions I'll be watching in the second half of the football game tomorrow. Now, as far as specific things to watch for that are going to be fun, we get our first look at Stephon Diggs in a Texans uniform in an actual game. We in the media and people who've been at practice have had plenty of opportunities to watch Diggs do his thing out of practice. And I said this on national radio yesterday on Zach Gelb's show, and I feel similarly. And I don't know if anything happened in Ohio to change this evaluation. But in my mind, for the 10 practices that I saw, Stephon Diggs was the best offensive player on the field. If Diggs has taken a step back in his game, then there are going to be major problems for the Texans defensively, because he's had a great camp. And I'm talking about a great camp not only between the lines, but also with his new teammates. Diggs has been a great pickup so far for the Texans. Again, we're only on to preseason game number 2, but I've seen nothing so far that makes me think that that trade was anything but a huge home run for the Houston Texans. So now we get our first look. Now you guys who haven't been able to see out of practice get to see what we've seen with Diggs. You'll get to see the precise route running, which is so crucial to the performance of this offense. You're going to get to see how he does, presumably in traffic or with guys on him. There were several plays in training camp for the Texans where CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs hooked up. And we're talking about red zone plays where the ball could only be put in one small spot, and Stroud was able to put it there and Diggs was able to come down with it. So to at least for a couple of series, presumably get to watch that connection should be good. Now, I'll point out Stephon Diggs didn't practice yesterday, but there were about 20 guys that didn't practice yesterday. So my guess is that was just a rest day for guys. Diggs did take a tumble at practice on Tuesday in a collision with Jimmy Ward and was reportedly down for a while before returning to practice. So maybe they're just playing it safe with him. But this is an exciting time. Like, this is as marquee a trade and a pickup as the Texans have made in the history of their organization. And I'm talking about being on the recipient side of getting the star player. I think the Deshaun Watson trade is, well, one, for now, going to go down as one of the worst trades in the history of the league. But it's also going to go down as one of the most notorious or momentous trades because of the whole saga with Deshaun. So the Texans obviously were involved in that, but this is the biggest trade I think that they've ever made in terms of the quality of the star coming back to them that I can think of. I know they've made other trades at various times, this one. And so I believe this game is also going to be picked up by the NFL Network. So the nation is going to get their first look at Stephon Diggs and get to hear all the anecdotes about what a great leader he's been throughout camp. So that should be a whole lot of fun. Stephon Diggs, maybe he gets matched up with Joey Porter Jr. if he's playing the game. Doesn't sound like Mike Tomlin is going to play a lot of his starters, and it's not for health reasons. He's just sitting them out, it would appear. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the podcast goes on. So we'll see how it looks for Diggs, Nico, Tank. I don't know who the number one is among those three. I really don't care who the number one is amongst those three. I'm a fantasy football player, and I'm probably just going to stay away from the Texans' wide receiving core, not because they're not talented, because they have too much talent. I don't know who the guy is going to be week to week, and that can be the most frustrating thing in fantasy football. So unless one of them just drifts into the fifth or sixth round of a draft, or unless one of them gets available real cheap in my auction league that I'm in, or two auction leagues that I'm in, then I'm just staying away from them. But it'd be fun to see the three of them running around out there doing some things with CJ for what I'm guessing is going to be maybe one series if they drive down and get a touchdown. You know, if they put together like a 10-play, 75-yard drive for a touchdown, then just yank them. Get them out of there. There's no reason to leave them out there for another drive. If they go three and out, throw them out there one more time. Or if they go, you know, they convert a first down, but then they sputter out, then throw them back out there for another series. But I don't expect to see the starters on offense, particularly the big-name starters on offense, stay out there for any longer than just a couple series. Now, I do think there are some other starters along the offensive line who will maybe be out there a little bit longer than CJ and the skill guys will be. So we'll see. But first, Diggs game, that's number one to watch for. I would say, second thing, let's just stick with that for a second, as long as we're talking about the offensive line. The offensive line and the defensive line, and in particular, the interior of the offensive line and defensive line for the Houston Texans. So let's start with why the interior, Sean. Why just the interior O-line? Aren't you interested in Blake Fisher? Is Titus Howard going to play in this game? What is it? Why not the tackles? Because the Steelers are not going to be playing T.J. Watt nor Alex Highsmith in this game. So we're not seeing the best of the best that the Steelers have to offer. Now, if the tackles still struggle against the Steelers' backup edge rushers, then that'll certainly be something we talk about in the post-game podcast that I do, where I do the winners and losers. But hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully Blake Fisher in particular has, from going against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter every day, going against backups for the Steelers is going to kind of feel like where you have a baseball bat and you got that weight donut on it. The weight donut is Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson in this case. Well, Blake Fisher's knocking that weight donut off, and now this bat feels like a toothpick. It's so light. That's hopefully what the Steelers' defensive ends will be. So I'm not as interested in along the edges as I am the interior. For the offensive line and the defensive line for the Texans, they've been going against each other in practice, and the defensive line on the interior has won way more days than the interior of the O-line, and that's really across all three strings of the Texans' depth chart. So that begs the question, is the interior the defensive line, which was a much maligned offseason? That was the one area that Nick Caserio probably drew the most criticism of this offseason, was just kind of the no-namedness of the defensive line moves. You know, I think there were some people, myself included, that wanted Christian Wilkins. I'm glad they got Danielle Hunter instead on the edge. I'm glad they splurged that money somewhere else. But people talking about that, the Malik Collins trade away from here to San Francisco was a strange one. Sheldon Rankins walked in free agency. And then they replaced them largely with journeymen like Foley Fatakasi and Tim Settle and Mario Edwards. Those guys have looked really, really good in camp, as has Khalil Davis and Kurt Heinisch. That's five guys right there at a position where I don't know if the Texans are keeping five guys. And they've all had really good camps. Now, are they having really good camps because they're getting coached up and maybe some of these guys who were journeymen are better players in this system or better players than we gave them credit for? Maybe. My hope is that it's not because they're not looking this good because the interior of the Texans offensive line is still that poor. So let's go over to that side of the ball for a second. My co-host Seth Payne, that's been his biggest concern this entire offseason, has been the interior of the offensive line for the Houston Texans, where left guard, once Kenyon Green got hurt last year, left guard just became this revolving door of guys until Juice Scruggs, who's really a center, had to hold that position down for the rest of the year. They had Michael Dieter at center last year, so now they're moving Juice back over to center. Kenyon Green is back from injury now at left guard. He definitely looks in better shape. He had a good game against the Bears backups, as did Juice Scruggs. But we need to stack more games like that. They definitely have the pole position right now at those two spots. Those are the only two spots that are really competitive right now on the offensive line, because we know when healthy, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard are the tackles, and Shaq Mason is the right guard. Those are three of the highest paid offensive linemen in the league. The left guard and center spots are competitive, but Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs have been running with the ones the entire camp, and they had a good Hall of Fame game. So that's something to watch, I think, on Friday night. The interior of both sides of the trenches for the Texans, and what is the truth when it comes to these guys? Has the interior of the Texans offensive line been struggling because we're not giving enough credit to the defensive line, or is the defensive line, are they winning the day more often because the weakness of the Texans remains a weakness? We'll get some more answers on that on Friday, and even more against the Giants and the Rams in the last two preseason games. So that's something, and I know that's not the funnest thing to watch, interior offensive line and defensive line play. If you're just the average fan, we like to follow where the ball goes. There's more fun going on around the ball than there is down in the trenches, or at least fun to the extent that we have an educated enough eye to where we want to, get hyper nerdy about the blocking schemes and whatnot. But I'm going to be watching it. It is a huge deal for the Texans. So that's number two. So number one, Stephon Diggs' first game. Number two, offensive and defensive line interior. Number three, this is the biggest one for the Texans. Damian Pierce needs a big night. He at least needs a night, maybe not where statistically on the box score it looks amazing, but Damian Pierce needs a night where it looks like he knows what the hell is going on in front of him when he gets the ball handed to him. Joe Mixon will not play in this game. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks now. Damian Pierce didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. I fully expect Damian Pierce to start and play in the game on Friday night against the Steelers. This is the first look we are getting at Damian Pierce we've seen him in pads at practice, but you're not allowed to tackle in practice. This is the first time that Damian Pierce is going to be allowed to break tackles, run over guys. He did very little of that last year, and I think a lot of that had to do with just the mental part of the game messing with him. I think his lack of grasp of the offense, I think, affected his physicality last year. So this is as big a, you know, as big as the second preseason game can be. And honestly, for Damian, the first preseason game, that Hall of Fame game, I think D'Amico even said it, D'Amico Ryans, he said, that's a bonus game. This is really like the first actual preseason game, especially when you consider the Hall of Fame game got cut short by a quarter and change. This is a big preseason game for Damian Pierce. We need to see a different Damian Pierce, because even when Joe Mixon comes back, the Texans are forecasting Damian to be a big part of this offense still. So a big night for Damian Pierce. And again, it doesn't have to be, I would guess he's in for maybe a couple of series, if that, maybe two or three series. So let's forecast that he gets six carries. It doesn't have to be six carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. It can be six carries for, you know, 21 yards, as long as the Damian is attacking the gaps, attacking the holes the way that a running back in this offense is supposed to. That there's no more pitter patter of his feet as he's very indecisive. That the decisiveness that we've seen from Damian Pierce throughout training camp is translating into an actual game, albeit a preseason game, but that will be an actual game being played on Friday night. That's what we need to see. Don't care about the yardage numbers. What I care about is the aesthetics. Has Damian Pierce's offseason resulted in him knowing exactly how to read what's going on in front of him in this offense? If that's the case, the numbers will come down the road, and I'll feel a whole lot better about the two-headed committee that they seem ready to go with. Now, that said, you know what makes it really interesting, and I should add this as a corollary to Damian Pierce? I'm looking forward to watching Cam Akers again. Cam Akers had a very solid game in the Hall of Fame game. And similar to what I just said about Damian, I think Cam Akers had like seven touches in that game, but only for like 31 yards, you know? But he had a few runs where you go, okay, well, I could see why before these Achilles tears, why everybody was so in love with Cam Akers. You know, he made something out of nothing a couple times. He caught the ball a couple times out of the backfield. So to me, it's just about the aesthetics of it. But Cam Akers, if he comes out tonight and he looks the same as he did last year in terms of his decisiveness and his grasp of the offense, there's a real opportunity here for Cam Akers or Jawar Jordan to step in there and be the number two guy. I don't know that it'll be Dari Gumawale is going to make the team. I just don't know that I see him as a member of like a two-headed monster kind of thing. I think Dari is a really good reserve running back who's got great special teams qualities. And as we saw last year, he's an emergency kicker too. So the running back position is going to be fun to watch. Last one, and I'm just going to go over to the other side, to the Steelers. The Texans get to have a say in one of the biggest storylines in the NFL this offseason, and that's the Steelers quarterback battle. Who's going to be starting for the Steelers? Is it Russell Wilson or is it Justin Fields? Now, Russell Wilson will not play in this game on Friday night. He's got a calf injury that he's suffering from. I guess he injured it during a conditioning drill. Irony, thy name is Russ. So Justin Fields is going to get the start. That'll be interesting because Justin Fields is a mobile quarterback, and the Texans didn't always handle mobile quarterbacks. And D'Amico Ryan's defenses in general, going back to San Francisco, don't typically handle mobile quarterbacks all that well. So that'll be a nice test for however long Justin Fields stays in the game. But I'm really anxious to get a firsthand look at that quarterback battle, because Russell Wilson, it feels like, was promised the starting quarterback job. But if you're not on the field, and Mike Tomlin even said, what happens in the preseason games counts more than what happens in practice. If Russ isn't getting in any of these games because he's injured, Justin Fields is going to wind up being the starting quarterback for this team in week one. And I tell you what, they may be better off. I think Russell Wilson is washed. I think he's done. Justin Fields, I think there's still something there. I think there's a really good chance he got bad coaching in Chicago. But to get an opportunity to watch that Steelers QB battle and then let the Texans, at least the Texans who end up playing in this game, have some sort of a say in it is kind of cool. So there's that. So those are really the four things that I'm looking for, specifically: Diggs' debut, interior O-line, D-line for the Texans, Dameon Pierce and kind of by proxy Cam Akers too, that running back battle, the battle of veteran running backs. And then over on the Steelers side, Fields versus Wilson. And again, Russell Wilson will not play in this game. So hopefully that got you somewhat ready, gives you guys something to watch for as well. In the meantime, if you want to get in with a mailbag question next week, and especially after this game happens on Friday, if you want to hit me with a mailbag question or two, feel free to houmailbag@gmail.com. Always looking for new blood in there. Love you regulars that email, but love to see some new faces as well. I always compare this podcast to a bar. I go to a local bar right out the window over here in my place called Lizards. I'm a regular there, but they like seeing some new people in there too, some new blood. So I get treated very well there, but they like the new blood coming in. That's kind of like me, you know, like all you regulars at email, you guys know who you are. You guys all know who you're vying for the Joe Q trophy for email frequency and quality. All right. And Chris in the ATL and Jason and Leander, France in the North, and some of you, and if I'm leaving any of you out, I apologize, but those are the names that are popping into my head. So many of you from around the globe emailing in from Budapest, Hungary, and Monterey, Mexico, and Liverpool. This is awesome, man. The Texans are a global entity, and this is a global podcast, baby. So I say all that to say, feel free to send me an email, houmailbag@gmail.com. There'll be one more episode this week. I do intend to do one following the post-game show on Friday night. So it'll be pre-game show at 3, kickoff at 6, post-game show after that, and then I plan on doing a podcast that I would imagine you'll have in your podcast inbox as long as you hit the subscribe button. You'll have on Saturday morning. So that's something you can listen to while you're eating breakfast or getting ready to barbecue or whatever it is you guys do on the weekend. So for my producer, Anthony Irwin, big thanks to him for getting the podcast out to all of you. And thank you again to all of you for listening, sharing the podcast on social media, sharing it with a friend. It's going to be a fun season. Hope to see some of you out there on Sunday night for the evening practice. That'll be the next big thing after the game on Friday. The Texans come home, day off Saturday, and then they practice Sunday late afternoon. Let me know if you're going to be out there. If you see me, say hello. I'll be out there and hanging out there with media members and hanging out with some friends afterwards. So, again, for Anthony Irwin, my producer, big thanks to all of you. We will see all of you tomorrow following a hopeful Texans preseason win over the Steelers. Until then, great day.